the Indians. Welcome to pilgrims and to the buffaloes who once ruled a plain. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hillers have been killed. Sent away. But the people know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America.
Poet, musician, and spoken word performer Gil Scott-Heron with Winter in America, the title track of his 1974 album. This was his third collaboration with musician Brian Jackson, who also worked with Scott-Heron on Pieces of a Man in 1971 and on his 1972 album, Free Will. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what a week we had. And this is where we kind of try to put things together, because it happened just so fast. And we likely missed a lot that we need to just slow down and take some time to analyze for what it really is, because, of course, we never get the true story. And to get the true story, you got to slow down a little bit. The first thing I want to talk about is priorities. The priorities of this nation. We had absolute jubilation. It goes beyond jubilation, actually. It was just a national obsession over this weekend with the release of this Black Panther movie that broke, well, shattered is more like it, shattered box office records. But it also shattered, I suspect, the hearts of activists who are still trying to get the message across to people that they ought to stop for a minute and think about the moment we're in. This is not because people have a mean streak about them and don't want to celebrate what clearly is an accomplishment, but it depends on how you view accomplishment. It's already won for the movie record books. The weekend opening of Black Panther in the United States and Canada alone raked in an estimated $235 million. While international ticket sales, not including major markets like China and Japan and Russia, added another 169 million to the film's debut total for the weekend. That's very impressive. This is no ordinary movie, as we know. This was a heavily marketed movie. This was a movie aimed at capturing a demographic that people had dismissed, people in the industry, the movie industry itself had dismissed this demographic for a very long time. And it had come to be the standard approach in the movie business that, because it's of course a racist industry, you produce for the mass market, mass meaning white market. They are the ones who will spend the money, and they're the ones who go see the movie. And therefore, they are the ones that the industry is accustomed to marketing to. They are actual real people, thinking people. And it is considered very, very important to observe the rules that apply to these markets or this market. You don't want to indicate to them that you take them for granted, so there is always a marketing budget. And whatever it takes, whatever the approach it takes to reach that the various demographics within the market, the effort is made. So in this sense, we have seen Hollywood come to terms with the idea that the African-American market is not to be taken for granted. At least you have to indicate a special interest in this market. So you have a major campaign to reach it. However, it is just business. It's good business to do something like that. But this movie, I haven't seen it. I will not be going to see it for different kinds of reasons. I don't doubt that it has great merit. All the things that people are packing into this box, they don't really get me. My father owned several businesses. Among them was a movie theater. So I spent a lot of my life going to the movies and having a great love for the movies. But we also had a particular intelligence about the movies. And much of that I developed on my own. You look at the movie and you see the various layers of meaning in any given movie. And it was almost always the case that my interpretation of a movie differed markedly from everybody else's. I remember the movie Imitation of Life, one of those movies that came out in the 1950s that purportedly addressed the race question. But they told the story from the point of view of a black woman who was a household worker, who had a very fair-skinned daughter who resented the idea that she was black. And then, of course, the mother dies, and there's a big, the big scene was the funeral, which also included Mahalia Jackson. But in any event, it is at this funeral that the daughter realizes the wrong she had done by denying her mother and blah, 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 blah. Lots of tears, lots of tears. And lesson learned. But it's not nearly as straightforward as that. In the end, it is about the fact that it was a quintessential soft glove approach to white supremacy. That's the way I saw it. Because the people in that movie who made all the critical decisions, including about the relationship between the mother and her daughter, were the white people she worked for. And it bothered me for a long time, but so I've had a very different attitude about movies. I remember the movie Exodus. The theme song, "This land is mine. God gave this land to me." Great full-throated orchestration with the worst possible idea for a song, but it was, and will continue to be a propaganda movie justifying the occupation of Palestine. Also going back to the 50s. Great movie. Now, I'm in the Caribbean. I'm in Trinidad. And I'm getting all of these messages via movies about what people feel deeply. And the idea that if enough of America feels this way, so should the world. I mean, it stands to reason. It's an imperialist country. And whatever it decides, well, it's decided. The same with this movie, Black Panther. Now, people are free to make whatever movies about whatever they want. But a movie, like any other product, if you will, is aimed at particular consumers. Before this movie was even made, there were thoughts about, well, who will go see it? What are the consumer patterns in this group? What are their movie-going habits? How are we to ensure that this thing flies and makes a lot of money? How are we going to create now our own narrative about how important this movie is so that the vast majority of people will say, even if they like the movie or they don't like the movie, the idea is they put their butts in a movie seat. They spend the requisite $15 per ticket, whatever it is that is being demanded. You make a lot of hype, and of course, you assure the success of a movie, not because of the content, but because of the merchandising and the marketing. And they couldn't have chosen a better time. They chose very, very well to tell a story about a fictitious African kingdom. The obvious implication here is the real thing is not pleasant to look at. So they have to invent an African kingdom because real life is just not going to cut it. When you invent something, you have full control. You put the pieces where you want to, and you get the outcome that you desire. But it couldn't have come at for those of us, many of us, and the more I talk to people I know, we seem to share the same opinion. It is strategically marketed. It actually reaches a demographic that does not fit the profile of a typical sci-fi kind of a sci-fi kind of movie. because older people, lots of older people went to see it. Lots of African Americans went to see it, and they saw it necessary to emphasize how black this movie was. It is making its debut in Black History Month, for crying out loud. And the kids are revved up about it because they saw to it that the kids would be revved up about it. And so they got the older people who generally don't go to movies like this, and they got the young kids who are just enthralled with this kind of sci-fi edge to it. And they got all these black folks because it's Black History Month. And you throw in well-known faces in there in the mix to star in this movie. And you go heavy with the appeal that this is an all-black production. They're telling their story. It's not a story. I mean, history has already documented the accomplishments of Africans all over the world, especially in the areas of science and so forth. Anybody interested in taking a look at Egypt, the role of Egypt, the role of Nubia, the role of Africans all over the world in pioneering science. It is to the black world that the so-called philosophers would go to study, and they would study math and science in Africa. Africa was the cradle of civilization. So I don't need anything to boost my feeling, my emotional feeling about a movie that talks about Africa this way. It's been established time and again. How far advanced African civilizations were in practically every field, in medicine, in mathematics and science, in horticulture and agriculture. It's mind-blowing. The real thing is mind-blowing enough, but it is also daunting when you tell people the real thing. They just can't handle it. So you invent something that they can accept, you think they will accept, even though you know it's not even the shadow, not even a decent allegory for the real thing. If you read the works of Ivan van Sertima, you go crazy about all these incredible accomplishments of Cheikhanta Diop. You would go nuts about all these major accomplishments in the world that did not get any attention. But it's not that it wasn't known, because the Greeks flocked to Africa. The ones that we admire and uphold as the father of this and the father of that discipline, they got the discipline in Africa. The real thing is just explosive. But you can't really lay claim to the real thing, because sooner or later it will overwhelm you. So you create a reality you can manage and you can handle and control. And you create a narrative that people know that it's a made-up thing, but you kind of come close enough to the real thing that they actually accept it as the real thing. The same people who despise Africans, for example, inventing ways in which they related to these awesome powers that are spiritual sometimes, more so than anything else, they embody these characteristics and the strengths, very often in animals and so forth. We know that. This is not new. But it is new for whites. It's new for them. So the movie is as much about creating a totally fictitious narrative that kind of hints at the true origins of what it is you're talking about, but nonetheless has a rather nefarious objective, which is to control people's minds. And one of the principal points of white supremacy is you have to create narratives that put you 100% in control of people's minds. Even if it looks like entertainment, it's not entertainment. This is the truth of Hollywood. If it weren't true, then we would have accepted the genius of Oscar Michaud, our first African-American cinematographer. He created works. They may look simplistic by today's standards, but the fact is, he was at this a long time ago, creating culture that reflected our true culture. They may look like simplistic forms, but that's not what the point is. The point is we had a person who broke through the barriers to tell our own stories in our own way. They were not sophisticated projects, but they amused, they educated, they taught lessons, and people saw themselves. And to do that, he created an industry in direct response to the overwhelming racist Hollywood industry that defined every aspect of our lives as a full-fledged partner in creating and maintaining white supremacy in this country. He loaded up his films in his car, and he would go through the so-called Chitlin' Circuit. He would set up his films at little local halls or wherever people could gather, and that's how he took a medium used for oppression, and he actually created something that was entertaining, but that taught lessons as well, and that 100% reflected our culture, our shared culture. Who cares about Oscar Michaud now? His name never even surfaces in the discussion of the Panther. Because Oscar Michaud was never, ever going to have any kind of participation in the Hollywood of yesteryear and even of today, unless the products that he created fell totally in line with the political and psychological program to keep people suppressed. Now, people are very, very jubilant. I saw the news coverage in different places. Folks were showing up to the movies with African drums, and they're dressed in their African garb, and they were all enthusiastic, which is great. It's wonderful that people could react to a medium this way, except they had no idea, nor did they seem to care to have an idea that maybe they need to look at this thing a little bit. They fit so perfectly into the preordained order of things. you simple-minded people. You'd be happy, you'd go to the movies, you'd throw your money at us, you'd literally throw it, make us all rich. And at the end of it all, neither you, nor the black faces who are appearing in this movie, nor the people who are making this movie, you have no power. You have no power. You are except as a newly invigorated source of revenue. You have no power. And so people are jubilant and they're jumping up and down and the theaters are bursting at the seams. You have no power to change anything. That, even with this movie, rests squarely in the hands of a very tiny group of people. You wouldn't see them. You wouldn't hear from them, but they are the ones permitting things to happen. And not on the basis that, well, gee, art is art. Everybody ought to enjoy a nice movie. No. They're real clear about what movies do and what movies are for. And specifically, when you talk about any medium that lifts up the experiences or the beliefs or the concerns or the cultures of oppressed people, you can't possibly be talking about liberation. You know, the industry is, it started on the premise, this is not something that is to be accomplished. No power except spending power. And they found a great formula to harness it to the max and leaving you happy. Before this Panther movie, we saw the same kind of thing, but they perfected it even between then and now, and that's with The Color Purple. Black folks were positively grateful. Grateful that Steven Spielberg made a movie about black people in the South in a particular period of American life. You get the obligatory interplay between whites and blacks in which blacks suffer. But that is also, believe it or not, it's not so much to document that it happened, but to repeat the sin so that, you know, while it's supposedly telling you about, well, this is what happened to people. What happens in the movie experience is that you relive it over and over again and you become clear about the power relationships in this country. Even as it distorted and destroyed things that we hold dear as a people, the overwhelming sentiment was, oh, thank God, we have a movie that gives black people some dignity, which of course it did not. It told a story about the experiences of a small group of blacks. Not that this was the black experience, but it succeeded in transmuting the idea that as you look at this microcosm, a tiny microcosm of blacks, you are looking at black life, period. And then, in very subtle ways, you attack You attack our religious beliefs. You attack our social structures. You attack the way we live and have had to live, not because we wanted to live this way, but because we were literally corralled into circumstances in which there was little or no choice. One of the so-called subtle points raised in this noble character, Sili, speaks to directly to one of the most salient issues in our community, and that is the relationship between men and women. Not that it's unique. It's not unique that you would have complicated relationships. Nobody has a free will. Nobody has a free mind. Nobody has freedom. So you're looking essentially at pathology, the pathology of oppression, making it look like this was a norm for black life. The men are no good. They're cruel. They literally drive their women insane and drive them into lesbian relationships where it is the only possible way to find love. Children are wrested away from family life and they're taken and they just put wherever it is that best suits the moment. Most African Americans looking at that movie from a clinical perspective would differ markedly with that kind of sociological analysis, or psychological analysis. But it was made by Steven Spielberg. And the movie was made specifically to atone for the insults that he had supposedly, this now the Jewish community, had accused him of insulting the memory of Jews, the collective memory of Jews. And this movie comes along and further cements the attitude within the Jewish community that, hey, how could you as a Jewish guy pay attention to black suffering and not your own? Hence, Shoah, a very long movie, so long it actually appears in several parts, which was his apology. So you could play fast and loose with the African experience in suffering and exploitation, global suffering, but you better come right and you better be circumspect when you are talking to a powerful and empowered community about their collective cultural memory. You don't mess around there. He never got an Oscar for The Color Purple. It was significant in many ways because this was the first movie that really put at front and center in modern times the faces. Just to put a face that big on screen, a black face that big on screen, was quite a turn artistically. But we're talking about power. And the movies are not just for entertainment. The movies are messages about power, who has it and who does not. So my reaction to Black Panther is not about the, you know, the cinematic relevance of it. It is because I know intuitively what it means. And it bothered me so much that I just can't see myself going to see that movie right now. It would take quite a while if I go to see it at all, because I know the timing, the marketing, all of this enhances what? Not black life. It doesn't do a damn thing for black people, although they think so. But it does further enhance the science of oppression through a medium that always has been, where black folks are concerned, always has been associated with propaganda. Always. You present life to oppressed people in such a way as you make them happy. Just the fact that you pay attention to them. They become oblivious to the large picture, which ultimately is that you are scientifically developing a weapon against them. This weapon is not just psychological and cultural, but financial and economic. You actually are able to produce a method, a process by which you can encourage very poor people all over the world to give you their money instead of asking, well, what are you doing? You know that if, for example, there were a global effort to, let's say, establish a food bank, and you asked the same black people who went by the millions to see this movie, put a dollar in a bucket. We're collecting because we are going to feed this village and that village and this town and that municipality because they're hurting. We are going to restore Tunica, Mississippi. We're going to dig drains in Tunica, Mississippi, and we're going to help establish some kind of an infrastructure there where it gets clean water. You know, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So now, as of this movie, there are certain scientific things in place about controlling the consumer mindset, which is really what they want. The added benefit is that it ups the ante on how you control people who have no power and are willing to accept it wherever they can find it, even in a movie. We have no power. In one weekend, we lost almost $400 million dollars of potential power. It didn't do a damn thing to improve the lot of black life in this country or anywhere else. It didn't create new economic opportunities. It didn't fortify people's savings in black banks. It didn't guarantee a correct and democratic voting process. It did nothing. And that's what it was designed to do, to get you all excited about participating in your own folly and have you pay for it. Oh, they say, well, we hired black actors and the director is black. And when are we going to stop falling for these stupid arguments? I go back. Oscar Michaud blew that lid off more than 60, 70 years ago. So what are we talking about? All of his actors were black. So you're not breaking any new ground here. You see what I'm saying? And it would have been, but that's just wishful thinking when you think about it. It would have been a very good message to send about the cognition among African Americans and blacks all over the world that we're not falling for these old tricks anymore. They don't have the guts, the artistic guts, to tell you exactly what is going on with you. Instead, they come at this from an oblique angle, and they give you parallels, and they give you metaphors, and they give you the opportunity to make up your own comparisons to see whether, this Wakanda is, how does it function? What are the good points to Wakanda and the bad points to an imagined and imaginary African kingdom? You don't have to imagine an African kingdom. See, this is what I keep saying. We don't need any more of these things. We have had African kingdoms, extensive African kingdoms. This is not something to imagine. These things have happened already. So, to present us with yet another layer of imagination where you can fix the facts to suit the plot. No, we have the evidence of your destruction of a real plot, of a real and vital kingdom that stretched all the way into Europe and Asia and South America. Global empires I'm talking about. That's something that you have to make up. This has happened. This is real. And then to do this in Black History Month, which is, I don't even know if these folks understood that they were witnessing the rewriting of history in a way, or at least gearing them up, setting them up to accept the rewriting of history, a story told through the imagined ideas of a writer. Who, by the way, is not African. Okay, so I have said this, have gone off a bit on it. I just wanted to get this point across. I do not envy, and it is the role of the artistic community to find different ways to get messages to us. It's their thing. In the United States, however, it comes loaded with other things. It's not just to entertain, but to stultify, to make you stupid. It's not that you go, you have a great laugh, and you go home knowing that you just participated in a meaningless exercise and it was good for a laugh. No, this now becomes a blueprint for the new reality written by other people. They have made, or they will make, the imagined real. And now your duty, if you're in the kind of work that I do, you now have the added burden of trying to convince people that's not true. This is not even real. And grown folks are getting up, and it's like a thing to do. You put on something you consider African, whether it's African or not, and you bring your djembe drums to a movie, and you still don't get it that you're nuts. You still don't get it that, as Malcolm X said, you've been had, you've been bamboozled. You are living in a new reality into which you have been placed. Totally fictional, but just right to provide the ways to control your mind. You don't ask questions, you don't find these things automatically disturbing. Because number one, you're not reading. It's Black History Month. They're telling you your history. You are the joke. You are the joke. They're sitting down and laughing at that in one weekend, they've told you a joke about you and made you pay $400 million plus to hear it and to be part of it. I'm not against movies. I'm not against any of that. But especially because this happens in Black History Month, I felt so sad that people were so disconnected, not only from their own histories, they don't know what they ought to know. There's no sin in that. It was organized that you don't know your history, because if you did know your history, you wouldn't put up with this crap now, would you? You wouldn't put up with 90% of the garbage that we put up with every day. Your education would open your eyes. This was the point of Carter G. Woodson. You can't pull these things off with the people connected to their history. You encourage an intentional ignorance. And they're grinning and running to the theater, eager to pluck down, what, $15, $20 to go see what essentially is a vicious kind of propaganda. I love the movies. I've always loved the movies since I was a kid. But I grew up with a very deep appreciation for how oppressed people, poor people and oppressed people, you don't have to be poor just to be oppressed. You can be oppressed in any kind of economic category. But what you can do to people to destabilize them, to bring what ought to be a life struggle to an abrupt halt, you turn them in a whole other direction. You distract them. And all the while, you're having a great laugh because they are paying for the privilege of being miseducated by you. Which means that you're something of a genius. Like I said, if I had a program that said, okay, go see a silly movie, but put a dollar in the pot, and whatever we collect this entire month, we're going to build a sewer system in Tunica, Mississippi. No takers. Nobody would put a dollar in the kettle. And that's why I lament that the work still is so hard because so many people have signed on to their own demise. They have volunteered to be slaves mentally. They have volunteered to serve in the system that is self-annihilating. It doesn't promote anything good. Not, they don't even give you a good, solid historical background. They don't give you anything. They leave you even in the worst condition, mentally, psychologically, emotionally. And they now have the added advantage of being experts at this new form of social control. Give them a movie with all kinds of African-sounding names. Totally distort African geology and culture and faith. Totally distorted. It's all imaginary. But give them what they want and make them pay for it. And you have now ushered in a new form. You've ratcheted up considerably the old form of social control. This is a new form of social control. And there are people. I mean, this will create yet another round of discussion in the African community that occurred with the color purple. There are people who stopped talking to each other because they had such deep divisions about a movie that didn't matter, that never didn't even come close to reality, that was the figment of a white man's mind. But it sowed the seeds of discontent within the African community that still to this day we have this work, this ongoing work of having to patch up all these injuries that are simply a new way or another way to foment disagreement and fragmentation in our community. Why can't we see that? Why can't we see that? Well, that I went on much longer than I should have. I had intended to have you talk about this, and the fact that all of this is happening, by the way, the same week that 17 children were slaughtered while at school, and there is no answer for that. We are not engaging in a discussion about that. We have no solutions about that. But we are jubilant that white America has extended the olive branch. It's made a wonderful movie that will now encourage healing and dialogue. We are just so simple-minded that we would accept this. Children are being mowed down in classic American style. Just spray them with bullets and kill them off. And all they did was show up for school. We don't have any discussion about that. We don't know how to solve that. But for the black community, hey, give them a movie. It works every time. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll connect because I really do want to hear your views on this. So we will connect tomorrow again. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Molotovs and Meditations. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, and all of the healers have been killed, sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter.